Renee, can I get a hug?
Here, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you just get a little anxious when you're hungry. Better?
You are a sniveling little suck-up sellout full of suffering succotash, son!
Welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious Grapplevision and encoded with blast processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. This is your host, the third J in J&J Security, Jay Hunter. And in this special Brucey bonus episode, we've got the guy that does Sting's voiceover, the laser suit in Larry Land, the pro-American, it's Matthew Botchamania. How's it going, mate?
It's going great. Thank you, Jay Hunter, for that fabulous intro. I'm so well prepared for this podcast, I've even brushed me hair.
Were you interested in Mania beforehand?
It's weird because now I'm interested as much in the reaction from the crowd as I am the matches themselves nowadays, because this didn't used to be an issue. You know, stuff like Rollins and Orton and the ladder match, it was alright. But then there's that fucking albatross of Brock versus Roman. But yeah, apart from that, there wasn't that much to make me go, ooh, this will be a pay-per-view.
I completely agree. Like, I wasn't hyped for this at all. I was quite, Walking Dead's on, sweet, you know? I wasn't hyped about WrestleMania at all until seeing kind of photos from Access kind of Friday and Saturday, and you had that guy who was climbing the Elimination Chamber.
Oh my God.
Got arrested.
That was so good because then on the Facebook it got posted on there. And all these people were just quoting that one bit that says, the guy, the cameraman filming it, saying, if you die, I'm putting it on YouTube. Just sort of just like to sum up an entire generation. Yeah, you will.
If you fall and die, I'm putting it on YouTube.
And some guy's defense was, well, there wasn't any sign to say he couldn't climb it, which is the worst defense in the world.
Maybe they just need a sign that says, don't be a dick.
They were all fucking, all the fans would have left. Showed up for Monday Night Raw instead to fucking heckle the Divas about you suck, see you.
Oh, man. There'll be no need for crying. Like the Phoenix Way, we'll all right, the 2 damn hours of the pre-show. We actually got J&J Security meet Patterson and Briscoe backstage.
Who took the sugar? I mean, come on, you know I can't have coffee without my sugar.
Sorry, I was using this for Mr. McMahon.
Briscoe says they had the sugar for Mr. McMahon. And Payday Pat Patterson calls them stooges.
What stooges?
Always were.
All right, so we got 2 matches on the pre-show. A fatal four-way for the tag titles. You have the Usos versus Los Matadores versus the New Day versus the masters of the WWE Universe, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, with Natty, who looks amazing. Jey Uso has a shoulder injury, so he was thrown into the barrier, and that's him done for the night, leaving Jimmy to fend for himself. Natty and the Midget in a bull costume throw handbags. And we get a sharpshooter.
I prefer sharpshooter.
They had an interspecies match on SmackDown, so they're on a par in Vince's eyes.
It must be my dirty, dirty upbringing, but hearing like Natalie and the Midget getting on in an interspecies, I'm like, oh, Jesus! Like, oh, God, no.
After a huge multi-man double suplex, Jimmy splashed Big E, but Cesaro stole the win in 9:58. Decent enough, but completely forgettable, and the champions weren't in it enough, so.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad match. It was a quick thing, the kickstart. Mountain Dew kickstart, which was on the pre-show. The crowd. And there were some awkward moments here when they were, like, trying to get ready for the first corner spot, and Cesaro's there, like, no, do the move to me in this exact way. now stay there. And it's like, I do love the tag team division at the minute, even if they have shite build and shite segments on Raw, SmackDown, whatever the fuck. They always have good pay-per-view matches. So yeah, no complaints.
And now it's time for your pre-show main event. It's the 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. No proper entrances for anyone, they all shuffle out. And a goateed Bo Dallas.
I forgot he existed. So I like to think that's actually the Mirror Universe Bo Dallas.
Yes, I love it. The opening spot, we get hashtag Axelmania is hoisted up by the mob and eliminated to a chorus of boos.
They all grabbed him and put him up on the shoulders. And the first time that he's going over, you can see a look of horror on his face like, Jesus Christ, if you just drop me off at this point, I'm going to land on my fucking head. No, turn around and do it the other way. And he very safely landed the other way, but...
Yeah, it was a really fun spot. I wish they had that Raw segment with Snoop Dogg and Hogan and Axel at WrestleMania. That would have been cooler. Just because no one will remember the Raw before WrestleMania, if you know what I mean. Yeah, a clusterfuck of a match. Just a few notable spots amongst general punch kickery. In great continuity, Mizdow and Miz double team former Miz protege Alex Riley, and Mizdow chucks him out.
I love that. Apart from this, the only great example of continuity has been evil referee Brian Armstrong.
Yeah.
Because he only makes like one appearance a year, maybe, but everyone remembers who he is, especially Michael Cole. It's like, it's the evil ref! And the crowd's like, oh no!
Get out of here, dick ref.
Yeah.
Bo gets eliminated by Kenta, aka Hideo Itami. He got onto the pre-show as he won an NXT tournament over the weekend. By all accounts, it was really great, and he hit the GTS as well. So WWE, Vince, brings him to the big leagues, and they pair up Hideo with Big Show, who KOs him out.
Bo Dallas eliminated Zack Ryder.
So this is like the food chain you're seeing here.
I was going to say, yeah, it was like it was like the circle of life almost. And then there's Big Show at the end saying, everything the light lands on, I eat.
They booked the New Year's baby really strong, eliminating all of New Day, getting 10 eliminations in total. Ooh, Cesaro made it to the final five. He won last year, and what a year he's had.
Yeah. They were plugging the fuck out of the prestigious Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy. And everyone there's going, yeah, Cesaro won it last year and did nothing before fucking joining up with Kid. And his reward for winning it last year was wrestling two matches at WrestleMania this year.
It was like, you get two matches at Mania, but they're both on the pre-show.
They get a can of Mountain Dew kickstart each.
Giant hoofs Cesaro out. Oh, and then we get the finish of the match. How do you spell man? SANDOW. After being berated, Sandow finally turns face on his master and eliminates him to a huge pop, so it's down to Big Show and Sandow. Damien tries OSC's favourite spot, which is pull down the rope and, oh, I'm going to jump over. That doesn't work. And the freaking Benoit 2004 Rumble spot, the guillotine over the top rope, to no avail. Sandow's thrown to the outside, and that young upstart, fuck's sake, Big Show, wins it in 1805.
See, I caused even more stir by saying I didn't mind Big Show winning. He was booked well. He was eliminating people left and right, so it wasn't like big, fat, old... Well, he is big, fat, old Big Show. As I said, his special ability now is being an old giant who's 50 and not being dead yet. That is a hell of an accomplishment, more than the Andre the Giant trophy. But in fairness, he did look good. But it is a weird blue balls way of doing it. Like, yes, Sandow, finally, he's left his master, he's become a man, yeah. And now he's limited by Big Show. But they again fucked themselves out because JBL was saying he's never won a battle royal. You know, he's never won World War III. It's like, you're lying sack of shit. He won the fucking ECW battle royal.
Yes.
He turned his shirt off famously.
Yeah.
And he won World War III 96 to get a fucking title shot. So I was like, well, what the fuck?
So the Giant wins his dad's trophy. He's gotten his dad's award and his frilly shirt too. Giant considers carrying the trophy to the back, but says, fuck that, it's way too heavy, and puts it back down. And poses like Andre beside it, which is actually pretty cool. Like, I bet someone pitched that spot, like that visual, then they said, oh, well, we got to book Big Show to win to do it.
That's probably why, actually. And it did look cool. You're right. Like, I won my dad in caramel form.
Never mind. It's the showcase of the Immortals, the legit 30th anniversary of WrestleMania. Let's do it to it.
Thank you. The first match was the ladder match, which I affectionately called Mid-Card in the Bank.
Ooh, there's the first Intercontinental Champion, Pat Patterson. Nice payday, Pat. So we got the ladder match for the Intercontinental title. It's Daniel Bryan versus current champion Six-Pack Barrett.
Yeah!
Versus Dolph Ziggler versus Stardust dressed as X-Men's Mr. Sinister.
And I got heat for saying, he looks like Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. Everyone went, no, he's Mr. Sinister, you idiot. Like, stop being a bad nerd.
Versus Luke Harper. Versus Fountain of Youth, or Truth.
Yeah.
Versus Outlast, Dean Ambrose. So, with Money in the Bank having its own pay-per-view, WWE are having its cake and eating it too with a multi-man ladder match at WrestleMania.
I hated everything about the build-up for this. Absolutely fucking hated it, and hated people going, well, it's bringing prestige to the title. I'm like, how the fuck is it bringing prestige to the title? Well, even the kids who can't even spell fucking WWE are going, hang on, why are they stealing the physical belt? That doesn't get them the title. Surely you'll be like, I think I'm better than ye, Bad News Barrett. I'm gonna punch you so hard your rugby nose will be straight. No, I'll just steal your belt. And it was alright when R-Truth did it, because he's wacky R-Truth, the fucking 1920s cartoon character. He's Felix the Cat. But then Dean Ambrose got in it, because he's wacky Dean Ambrose, the rebel yell. And then Stardust got in it, because he's the fucking space alien sex pest. And then Luke Harper got in it, because he's the dirty bastard. And then Dolph Ziggler does it. And you're like, well, Dolph, you know, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you bothering with this shitty title when you should be bothering the authority who cost you your job? And then you're like, oh, it's wrestling.
Yeah, the build was shit. And he also forgot Wacky Dean Ambrose dancing with R-Truth. How about that?
It's funny because he's insane.
The video package about the history of the IC belt was great, though.
I liked it until they, like...
stopped showing examples of success stories after 2003.
Right.
Although he's still very over, Bryan's yes chance, I thought, noticeably quieter and shorter than last year, just as a result of, like, beaten down fans just accepting WWE's booking that he's never going to be the next top babyface.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it's we love Bryan, but it's like Ziggler. It's the IC belt, but it's like, yeah, great, your career's ending then, you know. But if they then use this and finally start booking the title like it's a thing, not a reason to lose every week to make someone else look good, as they've insanely done it for the last few years, it'll be fine. It'll be good. I'll never say anything good. It'll be a prestigious belt. But we'll see. Dun, dun, dun.
They've 3 months until Money in the Bank rolls around, and kind of the Money in the Bank briefcase is the real Intercontinental title, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Because WWE can only focus on, like, three things at once. And when Money in the Bank briefcase comes around, whoever has it is getting some kind of focus. So best of luck to the IC and US belts, you know. But hopefully.
Definitely, yeah. 19 hours of TV a week and we can't concentrate on more than three storylines.
Dean Ambrose. I could have sworn he was mega hot last year. Fans chant Cody and Mr. Sinister hisses. I fucking love him hissing. It's great. He breaks out a bejeweled ladder. It's called the Exo-Atmospheric Starbird. Every time it was used, I thought it was breaking, but it was the shiny studs coming off. I thought it was pretty cool. Luke Harper does Terry Funk's Benny Hill airplane ladder spot.
Yay!
Bad News Barrett delivers a thumping suplex to Stardust from the top of the ladder. Tons of high work rate, no resting spots. Like,
yes.
You know the way wrestlers run the ropes and they do drop kicks and they do these choreographed sequences, but then when you ask them to climb a ladder, they suddenly have muscular dystrophy?
Yeah, it is like, oh God, this ladder.
But not here. They pelted up the ladder at top speed, especially Ziggler. There's no fucking about here. It's fantastic. Everyone's bumping like a boss as well. Man, Dean gets thrown through a ladder on the outside. It's an insane spot, and it gets holy shit chance.
Yeah, the Masato Tanaka Mike Awesome powerbomb spot was... Ah, yes.
Bullhammer.
Boom.
Bullhammer.
Boom.
Bullhammer.
Boom.
But Brian hits the flying knee on Barrett. Ziggler belts it up the ladder, and they trade nasty Nakamura headbutts.
Ziggler back and forth. Ow. Both men exchanging headbutts on top of the ladder.
Never headbutt a goat. You can't win.
Look at this. This is how bad Intercontinental Championship
means. Brian's there. Daniel Bryan's got the title. Daniel Bryan's got the title. Daniel Bryan wins the Intercontinental Championship.
He's struck twice.
Like, it was awesome, but then it was like, oh, God, didn't you have a concussion last year, Ziggler? Against Ryback.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like, you can't hit a guy in the face with a steel chair, but you can headbutt him pretty hard. And I'm like, oh, you know, headbutts must be easy to do. And then it shows the fucking welts on Daniel Bryan's head. It's like, oh. It's WrestleMania, of course we're going to headbutt each other. I'm like, no. Why you do this to yourself?
Bryan wins the knocking of noggins and claims the IC title as his prize, winning in 1347.
Making him the head nogger. Brian won.
Yes.
Is he IC champion?
Mm-hmm.
Hooray!
Daniel Bryan, you fucking animal, you! it's excellent work. A depressing build-up to this match, but it over-delivered on the night. I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. Great stuff.
Yep. And again, it will age better as it goes on. This will be the first step of the next generation or whatever. Or it'll just be like Dolph Ziggler beating Luke Harper at TLC, which was, wow, that was a great match. Shame fuck all went with it.
Actually, did you hear Brian on Chris Jericho's podcast? He said he was happy with his position. He loves to elevate mid-carders so main eventers have more guys to work with. Wow, what a wonderful guy. And who doesn't love Daniel Bryan? I did meet him once, and I just said, you know, congratulations. I loved your matches. Oh, well, like a mark, I said, because I just watched, like, some of his stuff with Kenta. I was like, oh, man, I really love your stuff with Kenta, and congratulations on all your success. And he just got kind of red and went, oh, thanks, you know?
Yeah, right. I saw him once in Wolverhampton, which again, tomorrow, weird. He's fucking weird. And it was just, we're in a hotel, talking to my mate, and had the door open, and then Daniel Bryan just walked past. And we stopped what we were doing and stared at him like he was a fucking alien. Like, and he just did this thing. He saw that we were staring and sort of looked at his feet like, rrr. And I was on the phone, like, oh, sorry, somebody awesome just walked past. And he started laughing on the other side of the hallway. And that's it, because, you know, at that time I was like, Brian Daniels. I didn't dare say, hello, mate, can I just have a quick photo with you? Nowadays I'll be like, yeah, whatever. But I was like, it's a wrestler. In a hotel. What's he doing here? And he's probably going to have a shave and a shit.
All right, match number two is Mr. Money in the Bank Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. Money in the Bank holder Rollins comes out with his Money in the Bank outlined gold version of his Snake Plissken attire. Awesome. He's with Stooges J&J as Seth's part of Triple H's heel faction, The Authority. Randy used to be in it, and now he isn't. And so here's this match.
I love your delivery. I'm not sure if they've started doing this for a while, or I've only just noticed at this pay-per-view. They're both, especially Jamie Noble, putting their fingers in their ears. And, like, looking around.
Yeah.
Like, is it the big congregation? I'm like, that's fucking great. Like, there's someone there going, watch out, Jay. Crazy fat man, do you right? I'm like, he's got a big sack that's labelled Seth Rollins. So put him in it. I do enjoy it. They're really into it. And it's just nice characters to have. And the build of this match, I actually enjoyed as well. Because I'm a fan of cheesy acting and Metal Gear Solid. So Randy Orton's like, of course I work for the Authority. I'm still with the Authority, right? And Seth's like, we can trust him. But like a week later, he's like, you dolt.
Excellent. Yes, Orton's a babyface now. So what does he do different? He goes, come on. Come on. And pumps his hands in towards his body. We also have a get up and a you as well. So there you go. and he's got hideous mismatched red pants and black elbow pants. Although Orton, he's an incredibly smooth performer, one of the best wrestlers around today.
Oh, yeah.
It's been 13 years in the WWE straight, mate. Same monotonous character for the last 8, so any match of his, it's a really hard sell for me. Like, I'm numb to him. I don't care. So Orton delivers a double draping DDT to J&J to the outside. Yeah, I love J&J security. They're selling general buffoonery. It's all great stuff.
Yeah.
Constant back and forth, Orton thwarting Rollins. Seth nails a moonsault from the apron, and then Rollins escapes the first draping DDT, but not the second. And then we get Orton's baby face. Come on! Come on! Come on! Oh,
yay,
fuck, man.
Yay. He said, come on!
The RKO doesn't work. So aww. Randy readies for a punt. J&J interfere. Noble eats an RKO. And then a midair Mercury gets one too. And Orton takes a curb stomp, but the Viper kicks out. The finish is when Orton dodges a Phoenix Splash. Like a dickhole, he actually had his foot on the mat, ready to turn way before he needed to, so you know he's going to move. Rollins lands on his feet, goes for the curb stomp, but gets boosted up and into an RKO.
It's countered. Oh, Rollins again to the midsection. Seth Rollins may have put Randy in position for another curb stomp. Oh, my God! Unbelievable! What an RKO!
It's fucking incredible. Like, the choreography, timing, thank you for saving it for WrestleMania. This is a WrestleMania RKO. Orton wins in 13-15.
Yeah, beautiful finish, and it's great seeing RKO out of nowhere. Best RKO since Evan Bourne came off the top of the Shooting Star Press.
I love Seth Rollins, but this match will only be remembered for the final spot, that amazing RKO. Ah, it's just like Randy Orton in general, the crescendo booking.
Yeah, I mean, it is good. The matches do build up to a crescendo, as you said. Part of me is like, there is a lot of fucking kickouts at the minute, you know. The AA gets kicked out on Raw, for example. Like, oh, all right. Thanks for your finish.
It's weird. I guess they're not finishing moves anymore, but just like signature moves.
Right.
Which is so much shitter, you know.
Oh, at least Randy's thinking of new ways of doing the move.
So, yeah, like you're playing Mortal Kombat 2 and you get him down to red and he's like, oh, signature him, you know.
Yeah.
I was initially annoyed Seth lost. He could have used the win, but it would make perfect future booking sense later.
Yeah, and not that that did not come into... fucking hell.
I've been called a vigilante. But I'm more than that. I'm the face of retribution. I am the silencer of injustice. I am Sting.
Oh my God! It's Sting! A six-time WCW champion, the crowning jewel!
The franchise!
The man who's never stepped foot inside WWE's arena before!
Next up is Sting versus Triple H. Sting showed up at Survivor Series, costing Triple H's team the main event. They made this big hoopla about Sting not talking, altering someone else doing a voiceover.
Sting, you fucking animal.
Until talking right before Mania. Even had some gimp cosplaying as him. Initially, WWE promoted the match as the last WCW guy versus the WWF guy. Since H is the cause of the Attitude Era boom, apparently. But right before Mania, Sting said a 14-year-old grudge would be ridiculous, which is true, and turned it into a Rage Against the Machine type deal because Hunter is ego-tripping as the heel authority figure. And you can really tell that Trips booked the build-up, as just like with Taker, it's his patented, like, big match, we'll circle each other, stand off, point to the WrestleMania sign, and no touching.
Now, I think the storyline is, it's been altered more times than the fucking X-Men comics. WCW was doing really well, only because it's still WWF talent. And then in 98, DX drove the building, fired a few shots, and then WCW died immediately afterwards. I think that's the current storyline going.
Bastards. Oh, we got our first special entrances of the night.
Ooh.
Oddly, Sting gets a Japanese taiko-style drum performance, which syncs up with his WWE theme, which is pretty cool. What's the deal with WWE having to make everything their own? Like, they paid top dollar for Sting based on his WCW legacy, but they give him WWE music and the WWE moniker, oh, it's a vigilante Sting, you know? And, like, Vince and his post-mania conference calls, like, we plucked Sting from obscurity and made him a hot main event level attraction. It's like, oh, fuck you. That's both factually fuck you and a giant fuck you anyway.
Yeah. It's called both being very insecure and winning the war.
Yeah.
So you can write the fuck what you want.
Triple H's entrance has an entrance.
Oh my god. This was the best fucking thing ever.
Yeah, a ridiculous commercialization of Mania this year.
Well, yeah, that aside.
The Terminator font of the WrestleMania logo at the entrance. We get clips from Terminator Genesis, and H arises to the stage surrounded by Cyberdyne 101 endoskeletons. He has this Terminator raised shoulder pad dealy. Actually, I spat out my beer laughing when I saw it.
Yes, it is an incredible gross commercialization. Yeah, but it's not like having Grumpy Cat or those two mayors who presented the cancer thing. This is Terminator. It's a franchise that is manly. Wrestling is manly. Wrestling was big in the 80s, as was Terminator. It's like, yay, Arnie, yeah, you know. Personally, if he'd wrestled with the Cyber Shao Kahn gear on, I would have been fucking happy. Because it's no DQ. He's like, argh! And he talked like a robot, like, knee drop, spine master. Yeah, I would have loved this. And I felt very appropriate that they were going back in time, Terminator, with this match. Because if there was one thing that could have made this match good, it was 1997.
Also, I love with Triple H, like, he's ascending. He's on his platform, and there's, like, a pole on the platform holding it up, so it looks like he's suspended with a pole up his ass.
I didn't see that.
WrestleMania. Judgment Day is here. It's time to play the game.
And then Schwarzenegger comes on the screen and as the Series 800 Terminator and says, WrestleMania, it's time to play the game. And I flipped out. I fucking love Terminator, so thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Just a weird bit. Like, Triple H came out with Terminators, all right? And now, in the second part of his entrance, he has the heads of Terminators as trophies.
Yeah, you're right. He killed them.
He must have swerved them when they weren't looking.
It was like fucking Akuma in Street Fighter. As soon as the lights went out, he killed them all. Yeah, you're right. What the fuck? Why'd he kill those Terminators?
Yeah, so this whole Sting Triple H portion of the show was 35 minutes long. And literally 15 minutes goes by before they lock up.
Oh, yeah, one thing. Yeah, everyone on Twitter who follows me and talks to me and stuff has been like, Sting, Sting, this would be great, Sting. Yeah, fucking hell, I can't wait to see Sting. And as soon as the match starts, as soon as they lock up and start doing stuff, all my Twitter feed is full of, Christ, Sting looks old. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's this weird thing. It's like when ECW reunion shows start and go, ooh, Raven's fat. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking 20 years later. People get old. It's what happens. So you wanted Sting, you've got Sting. If you want young Sting, fuck off the network. Or get a DeLorean. Or a Terminator.
So we get a highly choreographed, slow, big event, one move, then back away, oh, I can't believe he did that, kind of stuff. So they're going for a Rock Hogan WrestleMania 18 type deal, but not as effective. So shoulder block, and then Triple H scurries away, oh, I can't believe he did that. Hip toss, drop kick, oh, I can't believe he did that. And we get the obnoxious, you still got it chance. Apart from posting for a delayed vertical suplex, I thought Hogan could have wrestled this match because there's almost zero bumping by Sting. But Triple H and Sting are really very over, and that's what matters. The match hooked me, and the crowd were into it as well, so, you know, it's a success, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't look like he could go, though.
Nah, I think it's good when they do chant, "You've still got it." That doesn't mean, wow, don't worry, we're giving you a self-confidence boost. It means, Christ, please don't have a heart attack, Grandad.
Sting's sharpshooter is horrendous. He fell back and Triple H had to power them back into position. Oh, do you see, Triple H has a nasty, massive contusion on his left eye.
Well, yeah, that was from those Terminators he was killing.
Oh, there you go.
Terminator dead? Terminator is dead! That's my robot voice, it's not very good.
Sting had a big bruise on his left shoulder blade as well. The match was laid out with multiple shortcuts and regroupings to the outside so that if Sting wasn't fit, he could get through it. But he looked in great shape, like no t-shirt, no.
Oh, that was a thing, like, oh, please don't wear a t-shirt, please.
Yeah, he looked quite decent. He's got a massive nest egg, though. I thought, like, man, he needs hair plugs or something. As the match goes on, his hair turns into Nicolas Cage hair.
Motherfucker's old. You cannot win, can you?
No.
You don't wrestle, you get people bugging you to wrestle. As soon as you wrestle, it's, ooh, wear a hat.
We get a shit no-pressure sharpshooter, and the DX theme hits.
Break it down!
X-Pac and the Outlaws do a run-in, and Sting sends them packing. Man, I couldn't hear anything over the loudness of Billy Gunn's bright green sneakers.
Billy Gunn being the one guy going, right, none of yous can run. I'll sprint to the fucking ring so no one else can play catch-up. I thought that was cool.
Sting takes a pedigree but kicks out. H grabs a sledgehammer and the NWO theme hits. It's Hogan, Hall and Nash.
Do. Yeah, this was great. Kevin Nash doing a run-in 2015.
They beat up DX and Sting hits a Scorpion Death Drop to a surprise 2 only. Scorpion Deathlock, but Shawn Michaels delivers a loose superkick to Sting. I love how Shawn flat out refuses to get dressed up for work. Like, his wife must be embarrassed him leaving the gaff like that. He'd be on the blower to Vince. He's like, I'll come to Mania, but I'm going in my hunting gear.
He should have had a shotgun, or at least a decoy duck to distract Sting. Meh! Sting goes, what was that? Looks in the opposite corner, then gets super kicked.
DX and NWO brawl again. Billy shoots over Nash and Big Kev holds his quad. Shit you not. And now they've had their spot, so they're grand with each other. No more fighting.
Yeah.
Trah! Grabs the sledgehammer and Hall passes the bat to Sting. He uses it to break the sledgehammer's handle in half, which I thought was awesome. Sting runs wild, get a Stinger splash. Before a second one, H decks him with the sawn-off sledgehammer, and we get 1-2-3, a shocking victory in 1836.
Fucking sawn-off sledgehammer.
It's the best I got.
That was good, actually. Sorry.
Post-match, we get a stare-down and a end-of-the-war show of respect handshake with Sting and H. Yay, the WWF won again. Yeah.
Because it's funny to see how insecure they really are. And yeah, JBL on commentary was like, the war is over. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's been over for some years now.
It was weird that they dropped the WCW versus WWF storyline, but the story of the match was WCW versus WWF with NWO and DX. The other thing is just, why would the NWO help Sting?
Yeah, that was something I had to get told later on. I realised, I'm like, oh God, you're right. You know, if the Wolfpack had come out, yeah.
Yeah, Lex Luger.
That's another, oh, he's not doing a run-in. He did one of those little WrestleMania 3 mini rings to do that.
Yeah, I'm nitpicking though, you know, early 1998 NWO thing. I thought this match was great fun. Even if the pre-match stick lasted a staggering 15 minutes and there were 6 entrances in the match, the drum performance, Sting, Terminator, Hunter, DX, NWO, like, they're shortcuts, but I thought they were highly effective shortcuts. Like, I marked for the massive bang of 90s wrestling in this. I loved it. Don't rewatch it again, though, because it'll get worse and worse as the surprise entrances and shortcuts won't hold up their novelty, you know? So WrestleMania 32, it'll be Triple H and the Terminator versus Sting and RoboCop.
Yes. I was very happy seeing that. Just, you know, Hunter Killer Hurst Helmsley and Sting's a RoboCop.
Terminator doesn't want any piece of RoboCop.
Yeah. And they wrestle, like, really jerky. Oh, that'd be great.
Old-timey wrestlers congratulate Brian on his IC title win, and Pat Patterson gets a pay-per-view payday. Oh, you sneaky bollocks. Brett even gets in on the yes chance and his annual smile.
Yeah, it was almost as good as Brett doing the fucking bushwhacker walk as he did the Hall of Fame. Because everyone went, holy shit, Brett Hart has got a sense of humour. Because whenever you see him, like, forced into these angles, it's always like, something, something, winning the world title, something, something, my stroke, something, something, my dead brother. So it's like, fucking hell, mate. So it's nice to give Bret Hart look like a nice human being and like, oh, I can laugh. Oh, and fuck this segment for Ricky Steamboat going, as Randy Savage said, whoa, yeah. I'm like, oh, Randy Savage never said that. Fuck off, you Native American pretending to be a Japanese martial artist.
I will sandbag these musical performances. Never happened. Ah, the Hall of Famers parade. We get Rikishi, Alundra Blaze, the Bushwhackers, Randy Savage, there's Lanny Poffo accepting, Kevin Nash, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tatsumi Fujinami, Steve Michalak, who's accepting the Warrior Award for Connor Michalak, and Larry Zbysko.
Randy motherfucking Savage doesn't even headline the Hall of Fame. Probably because he's dead.
Yeah.
Still, part of me is like, I know it's just for money, it's for merchandising, who can they make a DVD out of, who can they pat themselves on the back, etc. But still, so is all wrestling, doesn't mean I can't get worked up about it and get into it. I would have liked to have seen Randy Savage headline Hall of Fame, as it were. And they misspelled Poffo's name. Poffo with one F. You dirty bastards.
Hashtag give divas a chance. It's Paige. It's
Paige.
Paige versus.
Wow, I've never thought of that actually. That's great.
It's Paige and AJ Lee versus the Bella Twins. So it's the same deal since Survivor Series. Paige and AJ are still friendly enemies, and the Bellas are still together despite Brie being Nikki's slave for a while and wishing she died in the womb. Dissension. Nigel forearm to AJ and Paige is left to fend for herself, which she doesn't appreciate. Some awful selling by AJ, some iffy spots, and a piss break. Maybe don't give main roster divas a chance. It's Vince and Kevin Dunn's show, so they'll still be booked the same, and they're generally not as talented as the women in NXT, so it just means longer, boring matches. Just watch women wrestling on NXT instead.
Yeah. You said it all so well, Jay. I'll only say this because I'm sure there'll be people who follow my every word who are listening to this, because who else will be the target audience to see me on this otherwise great show and bring this fucking down? I'm not a misogynist. I don't hate women. That fucking ridiculousness. I've nothing against female wrestlers. There's a shitload of great ones. I have no interest in watching the Bellas at all. You would have to pay me... Oh, you do pay me money, fuck. But the fact that you pay me money on Patreon is the reason why I suffer through Bella segments. Fuck you. I remember 2014. It was only last year. They're awful. Sub-porn level acting. And so, as good as Paige is, as good as AJ usually is, she was a bit off, you know. She got elbowed twice and spayed down for 5 minutes like it was a ladder match. Yeah, I had no interest in watching this match. Sorry.
AJ gets the hot tag and runs wild.
Hot tag? I missed hot tag.
AJ gets the tepid tag and runs wild.
There we go, thank you.
I'd never generally take AJ to task, but she stank on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, credit where it's due.
The fuck? She's jogging with her arms and the make sure get it right slow spot. It's so fucking fake. It's, oh my god, like, in the end, AJ gets the Black Widow on Nikki in 6:42, and congratulations, AJ. 2-0 at Mania. Your taker streak is coming along nicely.
It was good because, like I said, she did sit outside the ring for ages. And someone, I can't take credit for this joke, someone on Twitter said, like her husband, AJ is avoiding the ring. You'll get later, Jay, don't worry.
Alright.
Misogyny, cis male. Death to all women.
Real champion.
Where's the stretcher?
Somebody sent for us. The
queen appears to be in very serious condition.
The man alive.
If he dies, he dies.
Rusev Udria. Rusev Machka.
We got the US title match. It's the champion Alexander Rusev versus John Cena. In general, WWE have been doing a great job with Rusev here, an impressive undefeated Russian. Even though Rusev said, in Russia, losers don't get second chances, he grants Cena a second crack at his US title if he could just cut a promo. And let's not forget his horrendous, hilarious Russian advocate. He's like, as Mr. Rusev's attorney, he will not be signing this contract.
I love that motherfucker. It was only Lana who gave the second chance to Cena after Rusev got Benoit'd out. But it's like, no, Rusev would never have given Cena a chance. It was that weak woman. Oh, cis male. This comes full circle, doesn't it? I really just bury myself.
There you go.
I would like to speak to someone about, well, an American, basically about the Cena versus Rusev feud. Because my opinion is that Cena is a horrible bigot, and it's ridiculous how, even Lola on Raw the day after was there going, well, Rusev came to this country, and we gave him charity, and we helped him out, and he betrayed us by spitting on the flag. And we used to have an expression, America, you love it or leave it. Which is what, like, fucking people in the 40s used to say. Like, holy shit. And so I have absolutely hated Cena. The character of Cena being this racist, fucking hating Russian guy, and Rusev just being this nice guy. I love you, Rusev. I'm not going to move to Russia because you hate gays, but I respect you, Rusev. Fuck Cena. So your thoughts, Jay, segue.
Yeah, two big points on it. Cena says, I love my country. He's a big babyface. Rusev says, I love my country. Oh, fuck you, you dirty heel. You know?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, Rusev, his gimmick is he loves his country. Unlike Cena, the gimmick of loving your country, it's only believable if it's your gimmick all the time. Like, either you are or you aren't. Like, there's no half measures. Like, Hulk Hogan, real American. Kurt Angle, real American. Jim Duggan, all real Americans. You can't just love America when the storyline needs a patriot. So, yeah, fuck off. Right, the state anthem of the Russian Federation plays. Incredible Rusev entrance coming out in a friggin' tank. He's got the might of the entire Russian military behind him, with a beaming Lana flown in from the set of WWE Studios movie Interrogation with Edge, with a huge smile adorned with a fluffy white mink sash and US title on both shoulders, and then his own theme hits.
This is incidental music, by the way. Now you've stopped talking, I sound like an idiot.
It's difficult to pay attention and listen.
Oh, before it was beautiful, obviously. I'll stop talking, sorry.
This is one of the coolest entrances in wrestling history. Holy shit.
Rusev came to the ring in a tank with men with flags and the USSR national anthem, which is like the fucking Metallica Ride the Lightning of national anthems. It's so good. And I used to listen to this song just walking to work to hype me up for a shit 10-hour fucking workday. So it's good memories there.
Cena, a very quiet by comparison entrance. He gets a America fuck yeah video and a basic entrance.
He had the Reagan fucking and FDR and all these old references to old presidents who were like, well, we can do it. America, sorry, America can do it. If we can do it. And all this. And all it made reference to was how fucking old-fashioned, not old school, that's a good thing, how old-fashioned, archaic an America versus Russia feud fucking is and how irrelevant it is. So it's like, Cena can do it. Shh, for America. Shh. Like, he beats one guy, one foreigner. Like, it could get rid of the foreign menace, Cena. But, yeah. So the sort of political overtones of Vince's real-life ideology showing full scale here. As you said, this guy's got the Russian flag, the Russian tank, the Russian girlfriend, the Russian boxer shorts on. Well, I better come out in the ring with my own fucking merchandise on. Like, what a hack. Like, the character of Cena is just this unlikable guy. He basically just like, you know, I'll switch any allegiance, they'll pay me money. You know, really, who the fuck comes out representing their country, wearing their own shirt, their own cap, still wearing jean shorts? You know, it was hot, I guess, but come on. And then his little cum rag as well that he's still selling to people. I mean, what the fuck? Like, what would it kill you to wear one fucking American flag? Like, what the fuck?
Rusev's in control early on, and after two, waves the Russian flag. Awesome. He escapes the AA twice and near falls on both sides. Rusev yells that Cena can't beat him and hits a big knee to the temple. If he dies, he dies. Cena hits a tornado DDT and applies the STFU, applies being a very generous term, and Lana distracts by throwing her shoe in the ring. Who throws a shoe, honestly? I don't know why, but Lana looks even hotter barefoot. Cena hits a springboard backwards stunner, which looked bad at first, but the replay shows it was fine.
PWG, PWG.
Rusev nails a big kick and locks in the accolade.
The accolade.
Cena escapes and applies the STFU. He's not human. He's like a piece of iron. Lana goes to distract the ref. Rusev accidentally hits her off. Finally, Cena hits the FU and the win in 14:31. It's Cena. He's not losing at WrestleMania. Someone's got to break the unbeaten streak, so it should be done at Mania. And who better than the young upstart John Cena? So, despite Cena breaking out some new moves,
not plural, singular. Cena's been around for a while. And there's nothing wrong, per se, with that. Because, you know, a character can change and develop and do different things. None of which has happened or will happen by the looks of things, I admit. But it's like, okay, here's Russia's representative, Soda Popinski. Like, wow, he's big, he's mean, he's lean. And he's fighting the American representative, Ronald McDonald. That's what it fucking felt like. So, yeah, the character of Cena is just this horrible fucking guy. A guy who choked out a man in front of his wifey. I wanted Rusev to win. I wanted Rusev to have Lana distract the referee and Rusev to run over Cena with his fucking tank. That's what I wanted. Or maybe, you know, one of the Rusev Russian soldiers to throw up a fucking AK or something or anything and just beat Cena. Anything other than Cena winning would have been grand. But yeah, complaining about Cena now in 2015 is like, yeah, really, still doing it. The issues are still there. They have not been addressed. You are Windows 7.
So the IC belt's on Daniel Bryan and the US belt's on John Cena. So this is the highest those mid-card belts have been in a very long time. Just please keep it up, WWE, and don't get bored of it in 3 months.
Yeah.
Next up, H and Steph cut a promo kayfabing the attendance. 76,976. An amazing feat, considering the seating was set up for 65,000. Also, you can see there's a lot of empty seats and they blocked off behind the entranceway as well. The real figure is still very impressive. It's somewhere between 62 and 68,000. Like, so that's fantastic. You don't need to lie about this stuff.
It's very WCW-esque, which is... It's always funny. One day I will do a list of stuff WCW did that WWE mocked that WWE then did.
Yeah, they're on a TNA buzz of kicking out of everyone's finisher multiple times.
Kurt Angle is to blame for that. Kurt Angle fucking was the trendsetter. And I feel like, you do your finisher at the very, very, very last second I will kick out.
Oh, The Rock interrupts. Hooray! But you've been back every year since WrestleMania 27, so I don't know, seeing him this year didn't feel particularly special. You could have sat it out if you wanted to. WWE did spoil this by showing Cena hugging his mom, and then Rock's mom was beside her, so I was like, eh.
Oh, I didn't see that. Well, I don't think. This was an interesting segment, because after they'd done the mutual respect and thing with Sting and Triple H, an hour later, Triple H's going, ha, 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 I'm the baddie. I mean, I do like Triple H and Steph segments. I do. I think I like them more than most people, in fairness, because I like it when Raw opens and they talk for 20 minutes because wow. They're funny. And they're, yeah, I don't know. But they're really good at what they do. I don't know that Steph speaks entirely in exposition. So it was funny because then she slapped Rock and she said, what are you going to do? I can't do the impression of her. Hey, what are you going to do? Hit a woman? Hit me? Stephanie McMahon? Like, she cannot help but, like, explain to you what the fuck's happening. Just like, but I just remembered, I did like the bit where Triple H and Mom say, me and you, Triple H, we had one of the greatest feuds of all time. Yeah. And Triple H's like, yeah. And I kicked your ass, most of it. I was like, that was true. That was
yeah, it is true.
It was like, oh, shit. But even better than that was Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. And I am by no means a Hollywood fashion plate like Freddie Blassie. But Ronda Rousey was wearing a Dragon Ball Z meme top with Vegeta and over 9,000 written on it. And I'm old enough to remember when that meme first came out. So seeing it, fucking hell, nearly a decade later, on the shirt of the world's scariest woman is just bizarre. But yeah, just seeing that, it's like, oh, wow.
Rock milks the segment for all it's worth, goes out and brings in current UFC women's bantamweight champion, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, who is a massive wrestling fan and the most famous female badass in the world right now.
Mm.
Rock and the heels trade barbs until Rock punches Triple H and Ronda hip tosses Hunter. Stephanie gets in her grill and gets her arm locked up before the heels scurry away. So it looks like they're setting up a mixed tag match for WrestleMania. Do you want to see it?
Yeah. I don't know Ronda Rousey that well, but I know she kills women. And obviously that's something I love. Misogynist Mafu. Ha ha ha.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
For over 20 years, it has been the only constant in WWE.
There's a man going round taking names. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
The streak.
Yes, it's the extremely compatible gimmicks. The cult leader versus the undead phenom. It's Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. Bray, like a trooper, just cut promos by himself for the last 2 months. He's really veered off course this past year. Promos are very rambly and winning matches hasn't really upped his stature much. But his dialogue's gotten better recently. He just picks a fight with The Undertaker, saying he's afraid to show his face since losing to Lesnar at WrestleMania 30, judging him and wants to walk over his bones as he ascends to his throne. He controls the light and the dark as the new face of fear, not Ed Leslie. Taker's got the legit Santa Claus contract. He didn't show up before Mania. Just a voiceover accepting the challenge, I'm not dead yet, and striking Bray's rocking chair with lightning.
Not my rocking chair! But whatever. I wasn't too bothered that the build for this was bad, because it was like, yeah, alright, Undertaker's at home resting where he should be, that's fine. I was excited to see the match, so it was like Bray Wyatt's promos are just to fill time, and it's sort of like, you know, a bad ad-libber. You know, and then I look at my feet, and my feet talk back to me. I'm running the walls to the right. I'm like, you can't beat The Undertaker. Like, anybody could do it. It's easy, you know. Crazy. You know, it's fucking nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Yeah, but still the idea of him being a good character. Okay, you know, I want to get by. Like I said, they've upgraded him. It's like, ignore the Summer of Cena. He's back. He's Bray Wyatt, the hologram. Bray Wyatt, exploder of TVs, that was never explained and never will be because WWE. But he was good at the Rumble and Fastlane. Was he? The fuck? No, he wasn't. whatever. He's big. He's back. He's super Bray Wyatt. He's mega Bray Wyatt. And fuck, apparently he wrestled with a damaged leg.
Yeah, he sprained his ankle the week leading up. Or the entrance at it. It's Wurzelmania!
I bet you were so happy about this moment.
Just my Twitter exploded. Bray Wyatt comes to the ring with zombie scarecrows who come to life when they get close to his lantern. Oh, so boss. That also explains why he'd have a lantern in the bright daylight.
Yeah. Good save.
They also changed his Titantron to bright scary things, as opposed to dark, scary things. Taker's entrance is relatively simple to prior years. No druids or anything, just a bit of fire. Oh, he's in a simple trench coat and leather jocks. Perhaps Lesnar killed The Undertaker last year, and this is the resurrection of 2004 Taker?
Yeah. And people talking about, oh no, WrestleMania, the light killed it. Yeah, that's the thing Undertaker needed to worry about, was the light killing his entrance. He was worried about getting home to watch That's the Summer Wine on time.
Oh, Clegg-y. This match felt like they called it in the ring. One move rest, one move rest. The crowd didn't seem interested. Maybe that's why. Also, Bray sprained his ankle the week leading up to it. So, yeah. Taker goes old school and gets an extremely low threshold. You still got it chant. We get a tombstone. White kicks out. Sister Abigail. Taker kicks out. The match was just leading to one big spot, which is Bray's spider walk, and then Taker does a Jason sit-up, which was cool.
I don't like Bray's spider walk. It doesn't make any sense, and he keeps on using it like it's an offensive move.
It's manned games.
Right? Like, it's like, what? He was in the Money in the Bank, and he did it. As a guy who was climbing the ladder. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. You deserve to lose.
Unless he, like, kind of, if it was the Money in the Bank ladder match, and he, like, spider-walked up the ladder.
Holy shit. It's great because it's from a deleted scene from The Exorcist.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not in the film, but everyone knows, oh, from The Exorcist. Like, it's not in the fuck, it's in the director's cut version they released years later, but it's not in the original, fuck that version, it's not in the original version.
The man comes around. Undertaker counters a second Sister Abigail with a tombstone. It's hilarious. Taker still flicks his hair back like the Timotei ad, despite not having long hair, and gets the win in 15-12. WWE were booking very safe with Taker, maybe after the concussion he suffered last year, but I'd no doubt Wyatt would lose, and the match kind of underperformed in the ring, so it was kind of overall disappointing. You should have done a highly choreographed match like Sting had. Yeah, so much like against Cena last year, he's still elevated from having the feud with Taker, but not as much as if he would have won. Yeah, I wish I had something nicer to say. It's like, yeah. There was one amazing sign that said, Taker 23-0. It's like, if he beats Bray so badly, does he get his loss back?
I love wrestling fans.
Oh, actually, it was The Man Comes Around, wasn't it? The Johnny Cash song.
The Man Comes Around, but only once a year. It was good last year, though. We didn't get a chance to talk about last year, but it was so good seeing people going, I can't believe Undertaker lost that no good part-timer Brock Lesnar. It's like, Undertaker competing once a year. It's once a year, it's Undertaker. And he happens once a year. He's once a year, Undertaker. And he wrestles once a year.
Very good. And no one will get that reference.
God, I hope one guy will go, that's amazing. Everyone else will go, what's that idiot talking about? Moving on.
All right, it's time for your main event.
Suplex City, bitch.
It's time for your main event. It's the undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar, versus Roman Reigns. Poor old Roman Reigns, having a tough time getting to tonight. In the Shield, Dean and Seth hit him expertly with their excellent promo skills and wrestling respectively, far greener Roman was showcased strong, only coming in for his signature moves and catchphrases. Now that he's positioned as the top babyface for the main event of WrestleMania, in his third pay-per-view singles match in his career, like Cena before him, he's scrutinized and his flaws are all made apparent. So, although he looks great, and his signature moves are cool, he's only a decent wrestler. And his promos are written by Vince, who doesn't have a fucking clue. It's like, Superman puns. Suffering succotash, son. Oh my god. Roman's also not halfway charismatic enough to pull off poorly written lines, unlike Rock or Cena or even Ambrose. His Marty Jannetty Rockers post-Rockers character sucks too. He's still in his Shield gear with his Shield theme.
Oh, right.
Much like Leif Cassidy and Marty Jannetty, the new Rockers. Also, the fans have chosen Daniel Bryan as the top babyface.
You have chosen wisely.
Yes. Apart from height and looks, is better in every way than Roman Reigns. Unfortunately, it isn't wrestling or promo skills or connecting to the fans en masse on an emotional level that matters to Vince. It's height and looks. So, haha, Roman Reigns, main event. I have to say, Roman is not the worst. Like, it's the idea of Roman why people boo. You know, like, he's good looking. He's an underdeveloped wrestler, but he's getting rocketed to the moon at least a year before he's ready, which is the problem. So Roman got booed winning the Rumble in a poorly booked match.
Oh, God.
So bad that they booed The Rock trying to endorse him. The hell do you get the people to boo The Rock? Like, since then, he's been feuding with Kane and The Big Show, guaranteeing he'll have bad matches and not get over. The end of the go-home Raw before WrestleMania was with an embarrassing tug-of-war with the belt. Reigns campaigned for support with "I can and I will," with which the beer baron replied, "No, you won't."
Beautiful.
His opponent is Brock Lesnar. I absolutely love Brock Lesnar and how he's been booked. The last caveman, a beast that will maul his opponent, beat the piss out of them in kayfabe and shoot. A once-in-a-lifetime believable, incredible gimmick with this genetic freak of nature. Like, well done WWE for letting him be this guy. He's so good that the crowd are hot for him for a babyface turn. So with Brock publicly stating that he's signed with WWE for the next 3 years, perhaps WWE would realise that they don't have to pull the trigger on the new Lex Luger here, or the new Diesel, and ride out the incredible wave of awesomeness of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, agreed with everything you said there. Roman Reigns is not bad. But again, there is this weird company that punishes you for watching every week and paying attention to what happens. It's like, no, if you watch the pay-per-views and just watch your music video packages, that's the way, that's what's actually happening, according to them. Again, it's hard for fuck you to WWE at the lack of reaction for Roman Reigns because, hey, there's Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler and, as I said, Dean Ambrose, who the crowd all fucking love. So it's like if you're playing Street Fighter 2 and there being an anime of Street Fighter 2, as opposed to M. Bison getting killed or defeated, shall we say, at the hands of Ryu or Ken. It's like fucking T-Hawk is the guy that lands the final blow on M. Bison and brings down the Empire. And you're like, hang on, who the fuck are you? It's like, yeah, bitch. Wait, you can't just get over by saying bitch to disguise your lack of, you know, coherence. Bitch.
Roman's out first. Two amazing signs. We listen to our fans, lol. And Roman Reigns is a wank pheasant. Yeah, Roman can't catch a break. One other thing. Romany Gypsy Reigns. I watched the Shield documentary recently and he's aged really badly, like 6 years and two kind of thing. I get he's unshaved and trying to look rugged, but he's a big gypo now. He does the Superman ground punch and we get a wonderful 360 pyro goes off in the stadium shtick. It was pretty cool. He does stand up far too soon and face away from the hard camera, but that's nitpicking. Lesnar gets some stadium pyro too, which is really cool. I was shocked at how excellently booked this match was. Like, Roman got his ass handed to him, which I really wanted to see. Mm. And yet, he looks strong at the same time, and that's an impossible feat pulled off. At start of kickoff with match, Reign tries a super punch and he cuts Lesnar open, cheers, but it actually looks great having Brock with a bit of blood on him. And Lesnar says fuck you and F5s him and doesn't go for the pin. It just put you in your place, mate. Roman feebly tries to make his comeback and gets repeatedly cut off and dominated by an array of suplexes. And then, as Brock says, suplex city, bitch! And it was like, oh, I just love this guy. Amazing.
And then Twitter the next day was full of fucking, I'm not going to say into the negative, hacks of t-shirt companies selling suplex city shirts. Like, Roman Reigns' body was still warm and they were fucking still selling these things off him. It's like, oh, all right. They'll get in before the lawyers get us.
German suplex. A back suplex. I thought Roman started the laughing while getting demolished stick far too quickly. Then we get a German. Another German. Roman hits a stiff knee to Lesnar and immediately gets his receipt with a clattering clothesline to the outside. Belly to belly back into the ring and an F5. But Roman kicks out. At some point Lesnar blades and Roman pushes Brock into the ring post and the blood starts flowing from his head. It looks great. A 10th suplex and a 3rd F5 and Roman kicks out again. I was actually really annoyed by that.
I too was annoyed because I'm like, for fuck's sake, these finishers overkill. Is there some other way you guys can do a fucking end to a match, WrestleMania? And be, that's Undertaker's thing.
Yeah, you can do, come on, 3rd finisher should do it, come on. But what happens next makes it A-okay, I think. Roman hits a 5-hit King Combo. Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch, a spear and another spear. And then Lesnar kicks out. Holy fucking shit, like that's amazing stuff. But it's weird that neither finishers work. So it's like the X7 of X7 finishers, you know?
Yeah.
We get an F5 again, and both men are down on the mat.
Who can capitalize?
Heyman screaming, cover him!
Turning point of the match! What the hell?
Then Seth Rollins' theme hits. He's cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, woo, yeah!
The match is now a triple threat match.
It's like, three-way. It doesn't make any sense, but it's like, oh, wait, yeah, actually, I'm happy with that. No, wait, surely he has to wait till the match is finished, right? No, it's now a three-way. Well, okay.
I love how they do it, because, like, Lawler, like, can we do that? Yeah, I guess we are. All right, let's do it.
Over the curb stop!
There it is!
Curb
stop!
There it is!
The future is now!
Seth Rollins!
Taking no chances here at all!
Quick right on the curb stop! Lesnar! Lesnar picked him out of the air! Reigns with a spear! A wicked spear! Curb stop!
Nail-biting stuff as Seth knocks Reigns out of the ring and curb stomps Lesnar. He waits to do it again, but Lesnar catches him for an F5. Roman flies in with a spear to Lesnar. Seth curb stomps Roman and pins him 1-2-3 in 16:43. Seth Rollins is the new WWE World Champion. I fucking flipped out. I was knackered watching this because I love Brock. I love him beating the shit out of Roman Reigns, and then my Shield boy Seth Rollins goes, "Oh my god!" and he catches it in. It was just a flurry, just a massive spot. So many things happening, and he comes out on top as the champion. So fucking incredible! A frantic, heart-stopping finish. I thought like the right choice. Like they didn't end Mania with Roman winning the belt to a chorus of boos. This is like fantastic, everyone wins booking. Lesnar never lost the title. Roman got sympathy from getting battered. He looks strong surviving Lesnar and 4 F5s. And the much more talented Seth Rollins rocks away with the gold. So, just like in his ROH and FCW days, Rollins swings the WWE title as the new champion and we're done.
Yes. Yep, I agree with everything you say there, Jay. Loved it. Again, the roller coaster, somebody go, oh my god, who's going to win? Oh, now Seth could win. But he might not. Oh my god, what if he did? Oh, he didn't win, thank god. And yeah, even if this match had resulted in Roman Reigns winning, it would have still been a shit hot WrestleMania with a whatever finish. Just the idea of Roman Reigns getting booed by 80,000 fans is a nice, well, not nice, but would have been remembered for the bad reasons.
Just one other thing. I know Ambrose pledged to stop any cash-in, but I thought WWE checked the box on that because Ambrose was taken out with a nasty bump through a ladder and he was still selling it the next night on Raw, so it kind of makes sense.
I hadn't thought about that, actually. That's a good point, yeah. So, yeah, it's almost like, aha, I thought the right time to do this, not only to get the champion down, but to have Ambrose leave me the fuck alone. What were your overall thoughts then, Jay?
I thought the build to WrestleMania was very poor and they squandered a lot, but it was about the absolute best booking WWE could have done with the card that they had. It couldn't have gone any better on the day. Like, almost everyone over-delivered. Like, they hid Sting's shortcomings well, had a cracking ladder match, and an amazing main event with solid, sensical, story-building plot threads coming out of it. The only real disappointments were Taker and Bray. I wasn't huge on Cena's match, and we could have used another Kid Ink medley.
I don't necessarily minded the music and people going, ah, who needs the music? It's a long show. You do need a bathroom break eventually. And they knew it. It wasn't like, you better sit down and watch these music people. It was a, whilst you piss, here's Kid Ink. So yeah, loved it. What a well-delivering WrestleMania. And now people are now telling me that I'm a sheep enjoying it. So I give it meh out of fucking 10 because I loved it. And definitely in the top tier of WrestleManias.
All right, let's find out what happened on Raw. He's a rock, but a reef, we saw the reef.
We're not to the top, but a saw the reef. Reef, after the top of the ball, in the air.
What happened in front of the raucous hardcore mania crowd the night afterwards? Well, WWE, it's weird. They're now marketing this as a thing, like the Raw after WrestleMania and a crazy crowd. The crowd had a sing-along with Heyman, and they set up a world title rematch with Seth Rollins for halfway through Raw. Obviously, it's not happening. It's halfway through Raw. Awesome dick heel Seth shoved the belt in Brock's face, going, ah, I got it. And then called off the match, saying his foot hurt from curb stomping Brock and Reigns at Mania. Amazing. He tried to escape, but Brock is so fast, he caught him outside the ring and then threw him inside the ring and caught him when he tried to leave again with a German and then shook off an enziguri. Amazing reactions by both. And Seth legged it. Big baby-faced beast Brock flipped the announce table and F5'd Michael Cole. Huge pop. And then the cameraman. And then the cameraman again. Prompting Stephanie to indefinitely suspend him. Heyman said bitch twice and Stephanie said bitch once.
That's Roman Reigns' thing. Holy shit, what a segment. Oh my god, beautiful. Loved everything about it. Loved it. Loved Seth being a dick and not caring. Even to Brock Lesnar. Hey, ha, you're not getting this, Brock. Yeah, loved it.
Somehow JBL and Booker T are incapacitated for the whole night. I'm not complaining about that. So Byron Saxon replaces the entire commentary team for a bit. He does a solemn Owen voice all night, even when Lawler showed up later. And then we got the new Intercontinental Champion, Daniel Bryan, versus Dolph Ziggler. It was interesting, as these two campaigned online for singles match at Mania. We got it last week and again tonight, so it's weird. Bryan did more technical moves rather than strikes, and Ziggler bumps like a boss in a quick high work rate match. They finish with a headbutt spot from last night, and Bryan retains with a running knee. Post-match, Barrett picks off the faces before returning Sheamus runs them off. He heel turns, bro kicking and beating down the lads to bellowing, "You look stupid" chants, which he does, and handles well. He's got a shaved head mohawk and plaits in his beard.
Sheamus on pay-per-view is fucking great. Babyface TV Sheamus, who's like, Begorra, I be feckin' Irish. Oh, leprechaun jokes and pots of gold and Father Ted. And oh, I'm just a timid giant man. Like, oh, you fucking wretched cartoon guy. You plastic paddy. Him as a bad guy with a mohawk? Yeah, bring it on.
I'm back.
NXT alums in a four-way tag team match. The Ascension, Connor and Victor, the masters of the WWE Universe. New Day Socks, Big E and Kofi, and the Lucha Dragons. Great idea debuting the NXT call-ups in front of the hardcore post-mania crowd. Well, this match is just the Kalisto showcase, put over huge with four impressive quick spots to NXT and Ole chants. He does a backflip up and off Cesaro's shoulders. After Kara hits the La Mystica, Kalisto does this all-round spinning head scissors deal, which is amazing. A three-hit combo on Victor, and the King of Flight hits the Celina Del Sol for the win. It's a super booking that will get him over very quickly. Booker quips, "We should get every talent on NXT onto this roster," which would be amazing for Raw, but shit news for everyone called up.
Yeah, right.
Like Charlotte, like.
Victor and his friend were looking at the Lucha Dragons just like, oh, hello, darkness, my old friend.
And what's his name? The Consequences Creed.
Xavier Woods.
Yes. Because he was in NXT and so was Big E. And
Yeah,
fuck, man. Miz there defeats Stardust with Miz's skull-crushing finale and gets Pearl Harbored by The Miz.
Hopping. Yeah, apparently Miz Dow is still Miz Dow.
Yeah.
You know, I've escaped my master, but I'm still wearing his clothes. It's like, well, all right, fucking hell. You're either this or you're that. You can't be both.
Is that R-Truth's lyrics? You can get with this or you can get with that?
You can get with this or you can get with that. Stardust, still dressed as Mr. Sinister, because down, Cody, down. Which makes sense, because Mr. Sinister doesn't die. That's his thing, so it's like, well, one loss, I shall come back next week, you fools. By the way, did you know that Mr. Sinister, the original idea for him was that he was going to be revealed to be a bunch of drawings that a child had done come to life, which is why his name is, despite being this evil scientist guy, Mr. Sinister, which is like a really fucking overly cheesy, stupid name. But it never happened. It's just quietly dropped. So he's there, like, I am the most brilliant thing. I'm behind everything in mid to late 90s X-Men. If this happened, it's because of me. Why is that guy dead? Because me. Yeah. So, sorry, go on.
God, I didn't know that. That's awesome. Axelmania says the road to Extreme Rules starts now. He faces another NXT call-up. The WWE creative got to him. Hooded, purple-caped Neville. Oh my god, and Lillian introduces Adrian Neville as the man that gravity forgot?
Yeah.
Neville! It's like, oh, fuck off, would you? What, why? Oh, your hometown boy.
Yes.
Geordie Pock.
Aye.
Destroys Axel in a very short showcase performance. It was really impressive speed and fluidity. Sure, you'd know it if you watch NXT. Double somersaults, and Hennig sells every shot perfectly that he takes, like a boss.
Like a Hennig.
Red Arrow to finish. It was all very impressive. I'm not huge on the shiny cape, but thank God he avoided Vince's Danger Mouse gimmick.
Yes, so happy seeing the local lad, fucking Neville. You one name wanker. This isn't a great comparison, but Newcastle is a lot like Philadelphia. You know, you get the rep of being sports mad and drunk all the time. And you're not going to get in American TV, wow, Philadelphia superhero or whatever the fuck. It's never going to be like, wow, he's 6'10", he's got abs, he's got a tan, yeah. It's going to be, you know, El Drunko in Philadelphia. And like I said, like, it's amazing watching American TV. And there's a guy from Newcastle who's shredded and can flip and is talented and the crowd loves him. And knowing that if he was on TV in the UK, he'd be fucking Daz. The dull scum drunk. You know, like, here we go. You know, toon toon, Black White Army, the horse puncher, boom. You know, that would be it. Because all the media's protected by the South and May down there. And the North East gets diddly squat. So it's always, you know, keep the fuckers down. which is why we have a nice relationship with Scotland, because, you know, we're both shown to be the South as these, you know, we all live in caves and fuck farm animals types. So, again, I can't say this enough. It is so fucking great watching Adrian Neville succeed as a Newcastlean and not be Mighty Mouse. So, yeah, 10 out of 10, love this. And yeah, the Red Arrow is a great name for a finisher, because the Red Arrow are the fancy planes that do the flips and shit. So after years of Air Canada that Benoit used to do, it's like, yeah, not British Airways? Nah, that's shite. Red Arrow.
Yeah, it's like British Rail.
British Rail! If he did that, he'd be on the fucking route for fucking half an hour.
We get new US champion John Cena in a black-clad America shirt, issues an open challenge taken up by Dean Ambrose. Maybe they don't gel well together, or they're knackered from last night, but it looked like they were just going through the motions, like they were not showing much fire. Dean kicks out of an FU and botches a sunset flip powerbomb spot, and Cena patiently waits on the turnbuckle.
After the botched sunset flip, they went back to it, Dean Ambrose did a running powerbomb, and then Cena immediately got up from being powerbombed and put him in an STF. Which didn't make any sense. Even the crazy world of the worms and stink faces of wrestling. Yeah, so fuck off, Cena.
Dean actually applies a far better than Cena STFU, but Ambrose eats an FU for the pin. AJ is in her I'm a Nogger t-shirt, thank you. Involved in a six-woman tag match. Move of the week is a bow and arrow and a half-applied lasso from El Paso. It's in this match that the crowd turn real crass. Like, you got the You Suck Brian, You Suck Cena, You Suck Tyson, You Suck Uso chants. Wow, real look how inside I am scumbag stuff.
And then the puppy's like, well, wait a minute. Yes, this is incredibly sexist. Isn't the fact that of the two twins who could possibly hold the Divas title, WWE gave the title to the one with the biggest tits? So the problem is a big one. It's not just some random drunk crowds. And the funniest thing was that they didn't say anything about Paige because they don't know who she's fucking.
In a house show level main event, we've got a six-man tag with Seth Rollins, the new WWE champion, Libertarian Kane, and the New Year's baby Big Show, versus Randy Orton, Ryback, and an even bigger wank pheasant, Roman Reigns. The guy with the sign got right next to Roman. It was amazing. And what is a giant wank pheasant? A wank pheasant is Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Everyone's taking it easy. Exemplified by a fucking Mexican wave and CM Punk chants.
And then Jerry Lawler went, wow, the crowd excited for Randy Orton here tonight. Yes, thank you, Lawler. Never stop.
The WWE get in on the Mexican wave like it's a good thing. Well, it's weird, like, because the crowd have to amuse themselves because this match is wank.
A wank pheasant.
Generally, like, I love the chanting, yeah, but the post-Mania crowd can fuck right off with the We Are Awesome chants. Only Rollins and Ryback cared about getting the crowd back. Well, I was like, people hate Reigns so much, they cheered for the Big Show. Kane takes an RKO on his knee.
Okay. He does everything on his knees now. It's so great, the Kane bump.
And a Reigns spear, and the faces celebrate. It was a post-Mania Raw, so it was always a very enjoyable show. It petered out in the second half. Actually got a whopping 5.3 million viewers, which is the most watched Raw in 3 years. So good stuff, you know. Overall, what do you think?
Yeah, an interesting Raw. It's weird that you have to start assessing the crowd now at these things because they're so fucking loud. But then as soon as it goes back to the usual cycle of showing parents who are bored with their kids who don't know how to chant and dead air, we'll be wishing back for the Raw after WrestleMania crowd pretty soon. But hey, I thought it was all right just for the Brock and Seth segment alone and the Bryan Ziggler match. So, yeah.
It's been a great few days of shows with the Hall of Fame and now WrestleMania and with Raw. So hopefully it's not back to the same old problems next week. Yes, it will be.
But we can hope, right? That's why we tune in every week. Maybe this will be the time that the IC champion doesn't lose to some guy. And maybe Mighty Mouse will debut as a gay hairdresser. Stay tuned for more Reddit.
Alright, that does it for this week, folks. WrestleMania 31 is in the books. Thank you to our good buddy Matthew for coming aboard.
My pleasure as always. I had more tweets saying, wow, you were fucking great on OSW, than I've had for most of my videos. So I acknowledge that this is basically good publicity for myself. So I hope I've delivered for yourself, Jay. I've not just used you and left you.
Like the women in wrestling.
Women? Let me tell you about women.
What's on tap for Botchamania?
Botchamania 271, which I've been frantically trying to get done as quickly as possible before I head to Chikara in Wolverhampton. The re-edit of most Botch matches 2014 will be up soon because people like the idea of it and I like making them. I will be getting a PC soon because it'll be new tech year. So I'll be getting a PC, so making the videos should be a lot easier. No more laptop, fuck you laptop and your shitty I can't be talked to Jay Hunter properly because my friends downstairs are watching Netflix and downloading mermaid porn. Yeah, you heard. I'll probably get that every time Big Show's turned video that I've been planning to make that I realise I'm going to make a lot quicker with a better piece of hardware. Oh, and again, to clarify, because people listen to shit, I'm not putting the fucking guy that Rey Mysterio killed in Botchamania. Stop messaging me, you wazzocks, you pillocks, you armadons. I love the Scottish insult of, what was it? Because look at the Scottish insult randomly when I go actually dope, and it was, your mum's got a cock and your dad loves it.
And on that bombshell.
That's the best way to end it. Jay, what? No, Jay Hunter, what is next plan for you and the fine OSW review?
Yes, OSW, will dial it back to 2001 No Way Out, which will be up sometime within the next 2 weeks on OSWReview.com.
Oh, what a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's fucking boss. Alright, so it's a goodbye from Matthew.
And it's a goodbye from Jay.
And remember,
a winner is you. You know, bollocks, fuck.
I hate women. Women, fuck you.
Let me tell you about women, Jay. They love you.
$5? Get out of here.